A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
Hope y'all had a great Memorial Day.
Yeah, totally. We had our break and it felt really nice. And when the weather's a little bit nicer and you can start kind of taking care of things outside, it doesn't feel, don't get me wrong, like this whole thing feels pretty bad, but being outside helps a lot.
Sunshine definitely helps.
Yeah.
Just wear your sunscreen.
Can you imagine going through this in, I don't know, November, December?
Like the, yeah, no, like if this would have started like right after the holidays, no.
Yes.
Nope. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it was nice to have some time off, and although we didn't really take any time off, but it was nice to have a day.
I don't want to speak for you. Like, I feel re-energized and stuff.
Absolutely. Like I said, the sunshine really does help. Just wear your sunscreen. Mm-hmm. All right. So this case, I'm just going to jump in because I knew it. Like, it wasn't one that it wasn't on my list of ones to do. And I know the case. I thought I knew the case pretty well. And again, this is one of those ones that makes me go, oh, you think you know something and you don't. So... And I mean, I guess I did. I knew the narrative, right? I knew, like, the body of the story. Yeah. And I knew the who the key players were and all that. So I was like, oh, this will be, like, a nice... I find the story interesting. I'll dig in. It won't take me a thesis wrong. So I dig in. Well, first of all, there's not a ton of... news sources. Like, there's Crime Watch Daily, who I got a ton from. There's a Disappeared episode, but there's no, like, Fox News or ABC News, and or even the local news with that are older. There's recent stuff, but not back when it happened.
So it got some traction later.
Yeah, well, no, there's like a million podcasts that have covered it. But I wanted a valid, this is fact. And I went and did all the research and the fact, and it's interesting because for me, the Charlie Project is always like a source of truth for dates and times, I guess.
Yes. And can I just add something to our listeners from outside the U.S.? If you have an equivalent of the Charlie Project, because I've looked for Canada and nothing's quite the same. Can you just shoot us an email or something? Let us know, because we love covering a wide variety of cases, and we want to touch on all our listeners. So it would be really helpful. Pass it along.
I'll also say, and this is not a plug for like anything we would get kickbacks for or any of that. Like, it's not a paid advertisement, but the Charlie Project does have a donate tab. So if you feel the compelled to donate something to someone, like, they're actually a really good resource.
Yes.
Anyway, they're typically my source of truth, right? And dates don't line up in this case, and timelines don't line up in this case.
Terrific. I'm loving this already.
Yeah, it makes me absolutely crazy. So I'm just going to start. Obviously, I have my thesis written that I wasn't going to write. I'm covering Bethany Decker, okay? So Bethany was born May 13th, 1989. So this month she'll be 31. She was a great student, graduated high school, went to college at George Mason University. And one of her roommates commented that she was super smart and could write papers. It would write papers like weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I never did that. I like that you laugh.
I only did that once in my life for my master's. So.
Yeah, no, didn't happen. So, but she also was the type that could sit down at like 9 p.m. the night before it was due and crank out a paper and get an A+ on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, also not me. But okay. She did well in school. So she's in college and she meets Emil. He's in the ROTC. He's this attractive guy. He's super into her. And, like, most 17 and 18 year olds do. They fall smitten head over heels in love.
Right.
They date for 3 years. So now this is one thing that I don't understand on math, and I'm just going to say the math. She gets pregnant, and she was 20 when she had their child.
Okay.
But they dated for 3 years, which maths back to 17. Mm-hmm. But add 9 months of pregnancy. So either way, just that's where we're at. Okay. They dated for a long time. They got pregnant and then did what I think is not the right thing, but like what 20-year-olds do when they're excited about being pregnant. They got married.
Okay. Yes. Not uncommon.
Right. They have a little baby boy, Kai, and it sounds like life got real, real quick. They were 20 with a newborn, and yes, their parents were helpful, but Emil was military training, about to be deployed. Bethany was waitressing. She was in school, and Emil started traveling for the military for training before he got deployed. So now Bethany is a single mom, which I feel like military spouses face. But at 20, being a single mom with a newborn and a job in school.
Yes.
It sounds exhausting to me.
Yes. And being 20 is a time in your life when you're really discovering yourself. Like, just a natural progression of being on your own and the process that it takes. So it's a really complicated period in life to have all that extra stuff going on.
So Emil leaves for Camp Atterbury in Indiana to prepare for a deployment to Afghanistan. And it sounds like it started out great. And not great, but like they started out with their relationship being fine. Bethany was overwhelmed, that's for sure. But then she started saying things like, I feel like we rushed into getting married, which they probably did. Mm-hmm. So now Bethany is dealing with the deployment, a baby, a school, a job. And I literally wrote, I think I would lose my mind, let alone at 2021.
I truthfully can't imagine, but one of my really close friends, she got out of high school. She married a man in the military and had two children. And went to school and rebuilt her life. And, you know, whenever I hear a story like this, I feel like it's so, like, I feel stressed hearing it. That's a lot of stuff. And then
I feel like there's a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah. How would you possibly know how to maintain a long distance relationship?
Like, and I'm not even being dramatic. Like, what if you get the flu? I'm literally just asking. You know, either way. So to say she was stressed, I feel like it gets glossed over in a lot of the narratives. But from someone like from an outside perspective, that overwhelms me. So in October 2010, Emil deploys to Afghanistan. Bethany moves to her own apartment in Ashburn, Virginia, which is closer to her job. And everywhere I read agrees at this point, she left her son with her mom. Mm-hmm. Now, I interpret the leaving her son with her mom is designed to be a let me finish school and get my feet in the ground and then I'll take him back. It's not like it's for the weekend.
Oh, I thought you meant like while she was at school, like babysitter. So this is more of a full-time arrangement.
No one says that. But, yes, that's what I interpreted to be. I interpreted to say her being like, I want to go back to school. I have one semester left. I want to work full time. I guess take my child and I'll come back for him.
And in some family situations, that might work really, really well.
Right. So I'm not judging her for it. I'm not anything. And if you can read something, anyone that tells me I'm wrong, please do. There's not a lot of fact out there about this. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like she left the child with her mom. So, either way. So, in January in 2011, Emil is granted a 30-day or a month-long R&R from the military. He heads home. Now, it sounds like him and Bethany had already planned a vacation for this time.
Okay.
So they're going to Hawaii, mm-hmm. is the plan.
Yep.
Now, when he gets back, Bethany tells him, I met someone at work. I've been having an affair. And oh, by the way, I'm pregnant.
Wow, that's heavy.
Now, I'm going to give Emil all the credit in the world. He basically said, okay, well, I'm not giving up on us. Let's go on our vacation to Hawaii. We'll figure this stuff out and work through it all. In one of the interviews, he was like, you have to understand, I just came back from war, and nothing she could have told me was comparative to that.
And who am I to argue with that?
And I was like, you know what? First of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, that's really good logic.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, and it sounds like based on like the we're rushing into marriage and all the other things that she had been saying during his deployment, it wasn't a shock.
I see.
To him.
Okay.
So they go to Hawaii. And I can't find a whole lot about their actual trip. But I can tell you that, like, it doesn't sound like it was a volatile, negative, anything.
Mm-hmm.
They get back, and Bethany is more confused than ever.
Oh, that didn't sort anything out for her.
It didn't. I think, well, so part of me wonders is if that was great time, and they, like, reconnected, but she was like, I'm still pregnant with someone else's baby.
Yeah, and she probably deeply cares about the other guy too.
Right. So they get back January 27th or 28th. This is one of those things where the dates don't necessarily line up. And they gather from the conversation, say, like, we don't know what's going to happen with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know where we're going to end up. We don't know any of that. But she makes Emil a promise that regardless of what happens, she will be at the airport to send him back to Afghanistan.
I have a funny feeling about where this is going.
Spoiler alert, she does not go to the airport.
I mean, like, there's no better setup, like, it, honestly.
Right. So that night or the next night, I'm not sure because it's the 27th or the 28th. They go to dinner at Bethany's grandmother's house in Columbia. Bethany has been super close to her grandmother her whole life, and they make this homemade pizza together, and they get caught up. Now, Bethany's grandmother did an interview, and she said that Bethany expressed at this point that she was super overwhelmed and confused, and her grandmother felt like all the stress caught up with her, which probably so.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And I literally wrote, let's be real for a second. The girl is 21, married, with a baby, pregnant with one on the way from her boyfriend, who is not her husband, in school, working, and her husband is about to get back to deployed.
And he still loves her.
Sounds like a freaking lot. So her grandmother actually made a really good point, and I feel like you as a therapist will appreciate this point. Her grandmother said that she wanted her to think about what Bethany the person wants, not Bethany the wife, not Bethany the girlfriend, not Bethany the mom, not Bethany the mom-to-be, but Bethany the person.
Right.
And I was like, sounds like really sound advice.
I definitely think it's sound advice, and she was really reflecting on that, but I think if you've never done that or you've never been conditioned to think about yourself first, or yourself as an individual, that's a complicated task.
I would agree with you there. So Emil comes to dinner, and they're all, like, spending time together. It sounds like it was great, and Bethany was just really stressed out. She also seemed super distracted. Her phone kept blowing up, basically, to the point where everyone was like, what is happening? And then kind of suddenly after dinner, she was like, all right, I gotta go. Literally stood up and walked mm-hmm. out. And everyone was kind of like, where are you going?
Oh.
So Emil stands up and follows her out to be like, what is happening? But she was already in her car, basically,
mm-hmm.
and just left. So Emil gets in his car and she goes back to her apartment and he goes back to where he's been staying because they aren't staying together because they don't know what their relationship looks like.
Yes. I'm following.
It's a mess. So February 2nd or 4th, depending on what you read. Mm-hmm. Now, part of me wonders if the airport happened on the 2nd, but he returned to Afghanistan on the 4th, because it took him, like, he flew from Virginia to a military base and then was there for...
I see. Yeah.
I don't... That's my guess, but I'm not sure. Okay. Emil heads to the airport to head back to Afghanistan, and Bethany is not at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
She misses the send-off completely. Now, Emil at this point thinks something is wrong. He's like, and he does interviews, and he's like, listen, even no matter where our relationship was, she wouldn't have sent me back to war without being there.
I believe that.
So he calls her family,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, hey, I have to go. I can't just not go, which I feel like the military should let you not go if your wife is missing. But then again, I can understand the perspective of someone saying, dude, she left you. She's with someone else now and pregnant with their baby.
Well, you know, I don't know specifically. This might not be true, but, like, he's probably thinking in terms of, like, I can't just ask my commanding officer if I could go. Like, I think you have to go through a whole thing.
Process.
A whole process to be sent back home, like a leave of absence or whatever it is. So he's probably at the point where he's thinking, like, I can't just ask my commanding officer.
Right. And yes. And I'm sure, like I said, though, part of it is, like, then I have to explain my wife's pregnant with someone else's baby and she's missing. Yes. And we'll just... So he does next best thing. He calls her mom and her grandmother and he's like, hey, she's not here. But they kind of chalk it up to, like, well, maybe she's with her boyfriend.
Yeah. Like, yeah, maybe she's chosen.
Yeah. I know that you guys weren't sure, but maybe she is sure. Yeah. Now, what I'm about to tell you literally makes me want to crawl out of my skin.
You've got to be kidding. Oh.
For the next 2 to 3 weeks, I said weeks, her family calls and texts her and can't get a hold of her. No one thinks it's strange, though, because she's working in school.
Uh-huh.
Let me say this. I'm not even going to use my husband in the scenario. If my sister doesn't hear from me for 4 hours... she better sound an alarm. 2 to 3 weeks makes me want to lose my mind. Now, everyone claims she was super hard to get a hold of, and this is normal. I can't. Listen to me right now. If you are someone that takes 2 to 3 weeks to answer your phone or call someone back or send a text message, come up with one person in your life that you're going to text every day. So if something terrible happens to you for some reason, someone knows. Because no one has seen Bethany.
Hi, I'm that person, by the way.
Yeah, yes and no. I would notice, your significant other would notice, your mom would notice, your kids would notice.
Okay. My kids would notice. Like,
your boss would notice.
But if
your employees would notice.
But if I was in a situation where I was separated from my family, like, I'm really bad at calling people back, texting. I think that it would probably take, now, not several weeks, but I think a week could go by before people say, Amy, where are you?
Okay, well, I'm not going to let a week go by, just so you know.
Great. Thank you.
Not going to happen. And I will call every single person. Just so all of you are Amy's friends know, if she doesn't answer me for like a day, I'm going to start calling you. I'm going to start messaging you on Facebook.
Thanks for having my back.
Hey, no problem. So 2 to 3 weeks, no one, anything. On February 19th in 2011, her friend Sarah notices she's on Facebook chat. So she reaches out and she's like, hey, like, what's up? Immediately, Sarah's like, these responses are weird.
Huh.
And just, she's like, I live with her. We texted. I know when she's not herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not herself. So then she starts asking questions about remember when this happened or about their friendship. And Bethany is sidestepping the questions. She won't answer any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah is the friend that everyone needs and calls her grandmother and is like, I don't think this is Bethany.
Bold.
And, well, I think about it, right? Let's say it was you, mm-hmm. right? And here we go. 3 weeks go by, no one's heard from you, and you're on Facebook. Yep. And I'm like, hey, how are you? And you answer in a way that I'm like, huh. And I'm like, hey, I can't remember. Like, what dorm did we live in? And you ignore the question, and you're like, hey, like, how's the weather?
I understand.
And I'm like, hey, what cat did we get? And you ignore the question. I'm going to be like, okay, Amy, either say something that I'm gonna know it's you, or I'm calling the police.
And I don't necessarily think it's bold of her to jump to a conclusion. What I think is bold is that most people, when in a situation that they're unsure of, really hesitate in the response time to do anything about it because they don't want to feel like they're overreacting.
That's fair. That's fair. So her grandmother at that point is like, okay, well, I'm just going to go knock on her door.
Mm-hmm.
She gets dressed, immediately drives up there. Bethany's car is in the parking lot. It's parked a little bit strangely, but I chalk that up to, yeah, I don't park consistently myself.
Is this like a condo?
Yeah. And knocks on the door. No one's home. At this point, her grandmother's like, okay, we're going to call the police.
Good.
That's what we're going to do. Right. 3 weeks to the day since the last sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And police actually take it pretty seriously. And at first I was like, dang, like, good for the police. But also, she's 4 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another factor, too. Like, she's pregnant and missing. And one thing I read is over the last few years, homicide is number 2 or 3 of the most common pregnancy deaths in the United States.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
That's horrible. Yeah.
So according to the National Institute of Health, there are some states, like Louisiana, for example,
mm-hmm.
where homicide is the leading cause of pregnancy death.
Wow. That's incredible, and it's distressing.
Yeah. Oh, it's atrocious. I was like, say what? So police take this pretty seriously, and they start doing research, and they start doing, you know, all the right things. They search the apartment. They search her car. They search a field outside of her apartment. There's no signs of foul play. So police immediately start focusing on the last person that saw her, Emil.
Oh.
Outside her grandmother's house. He's in Afghanistan. So they go through, like, his commanding officer, and they get him on the phone, and through email, they said, I'll change emails. And he's like, yes, I followed her outside, but she got in her car, and that was it. And then she didn't show up at the airport.
Right.
So the police then start working with the military to get him back to Virginia, but they sort of go on to the next.
I see.
Police suddenly announce they have a search warrant for Ronald Rolden. He is a new boyfriend, baby daddy.
Oh, okay.
Who, unbeknownst to anyone, also lived in that apartment.
Uh-huh. Okay.
With Bethany.
Wow. That's kind of
now,
a secret to hold.
Here's where, like, Good Morning America told the story and all the media back then happened. It's, you know, it's the story I just told you. A pregnant military wife that's had an affair is now pregnant with her boyfriend's child is missing. Yep. It becomes this salacious, not for the right reasons.
I see.
I feel like I'm on The Bachelor. So Ronald's story is, yeah, she came home that night and then left for work the next day. And when she didn't come back, I assumed she was getting back together with her husband and moved in with her family.
Okay.
Right. Now, at this point, her family comes forward and says, hey, we know that he was physically abusing her. And potentially physically abusing her son. Which, there is no... I'm not discrediting her family. Please don't take it as that. There's no, like, reports of this documented.
Okay.
So it's a really fine... And I, again, I'm not discrediting her family. And, I mean, you know, abuse victims don't necessarily report their abuse. But there is speculation. That's why she asked her mom to take her son.
I see.
Because, like, there was a situation where her son had a black eye. And she said that a couple was, one of their friends was watching him, and he was holding on to the back of a chair, and he pulled it backwards and, like, slammed himself in the face with it. Which, sure, that's an actual, like, valid, could have happened.
I wonder if what he would say today, like, if he has any memory of that.
I mean, he was one.
Yeah, okay.
1.5, maybe.
Yeah. Got it.
So... her mother says that, like, she knew of a couple times he did put his hands on her and push her and those type of things. Her friends said, now one of the friends said that, like, in their relationship she was always attached to the phone, always texting him back, always being, like, basically attached. And part of me was like, well, that's like a new relationship in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you're 20 and 21.
Yeah, that's true.
But then they said that, like, he would ask for pictures of where she was.
Huh.
But again, these stories are all coming out after the fact.
Okay.
And again, I'm not discrediting anyone. It's one of those things. You know?
My mind's just racing. That's all.
Well, Emil gets back to Virginia at this point.
Okay.
And, like, his story breaks my heart. Look at it from his perspective. He is away. And he's realizing Bethany has asked her mom to take their son, telling him she shouldn't have married him, had an affair, got pregnant with someone else. All while he's like, I'm here and I'll help any way I can, but I don't know what use I'm going to be.
Right.
And that's sort of the end. There's been, I will tell you, in January of 2020, so like 4 months ago, police got a new warrant to go through Bethany's Facebook to try to, I would assume, to figure out where those messages were sent from and what device and all of those things.
I'm surprised they didn't do that earlier. Does she even have a Facebook?
Well, hold on. That's how she messaged a friend.
Well, I mean, active now.
I don't know, but I will say that they did search Ronald. He had moved in with his mom when the lease was up. So they searched his mom's house. They took all of his devices, his phone, his laptop, his everything, and never came up with anything. Ronald refused a polygraph. So Bethany's never been seen again. That's sort of the period, end of story. Her husband is now back from Afghanistan for good. He has full custody of their son.
Makes sense.
I truthfully don't think he's involved. He has been pretty vocal. He's done every interview he can about Bethany. He has been very supportive. And I think that he truthfully could have come back and been like, listen, the hell with a skate girl. And no one would have judged him for it.
So what you're saying, I mean, it doesn't sound to me like you think he's a sus or he's.
I do not. I do not think he's involved at all.
But it is a theory. A theory is that he could have done it.
Yes. Yeah, sure. That is a theory. There's also obviously the theory of Ronald did it. But then there's also, and this is doesn't have a lot of traction, which surprises me because I actually concede is like she left her life.
Well, let's start with the husband.
I don't think he did it, period, end of story.
Right, but I mean, I think it's worth like talking about.
He could have thrown her in a volcano in Hawaii.
Well, but totally. So first of all, he had a motive. You know, he had reason to be angry and hurt and to feel played when he came back.
And I struggle with this because I don't want to talk badly about Bethany because, like, she's the victim in this case. But I also, I view him a little bit as a victim.
It sounds like everyone's been victimized here.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
But I think that it's worth saying that, like, if you were going to kill her at all, then wouldn't you have done it in Hawaii when, you know, there's no one that would have known, really?
Right. Or
you can blame it on an accident.
Or I guess he could have been those couple days between when they were at the pizza dinner and him going back to Afghanistan.
No history of abuse between them, right?
Nope. He, to me, comes across very credible. You don't really know anyone. I get that. But for him to still be speaking positively about her, I give him a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure to a degree he understands how lonely she must have been and overwhelmed.
Yeah, and her friend that was in one of the interviews was like, when she told me she was going to start pursuing this other guy, I was kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she was alone and wanted help and, like, wanted a person there.
Well, I mean, I really wanted to just talk about the husband because I didn't want to ignore him just because it, you know, he could be easily brushed off. But I mean, yes, he had a motive, but I kind of don't see anything else such as like a history of abuse, anger issues, or him continuing to want to go on vacation with her. Nothing bad occurred on the vacation.
There's no reports of anything on the vacation.
But if something had happened, something significant, someone would have known about it. Positive, negative, whatever.
Yeah, I would say yes.
So then we have the boyfriend. And
so I actually, can we talk about the leaving her life for 1 second first? So this, to me, I don't know why there's no traction on it. Because part of me says, okay, if she's in an abusive relationship and she's pregnant, and she asked her mom to take her son, is she taking steps to just go?
It could be seen that way.
And the only reason I gave it a second thought was this all happened in, you know, January, February, the spring, right? March. Yeah. In August, police put out a bulletin to hospitals in, like, from D.C. down to North Carolina, saying if this woman comes in to give birth, you need to alert Virginia authorities.
Oh.
And I was like, well, first of all, do they think she's alive?
I think they have to cover their bases.
Well, then they also, I mean, even according to the Charlie Project, authorities can find no evidence of foul play, and Bethany's mom still hopes she's alive.
But all parents hope their kid's alive.
Okay, fine. I don't know. It's like the fact that police are like notifying hospitals 6 months later gives me a little bit of pause.
I think when you can't find any evidence of foul play, though, you just want to cover your bases with every other theory.
I mean, I hear you. The boyfriend looks really bad, in my opinion.
I think that the leaving your life is plausible. But I think the last theory that we're going to talk about just kind of rolls over those other theories, honestly.
Okay, well, I have questions. But yes, yes. So the last theory is the boyfriend. He was potentially abusing her. He potentially abused her child. I also will, I guess, bring up the fact that he is in jail now for assault on a female in North Carolina.
Really?
He tried to kill his girlfriend.
Stop it.
He shot her in the head. She lived. But because, so the story is, and I'm not going to lie. I read two accountings of this story and then just kind of stopped because they were the same. So I just went with them. He attacked her. He provoked her. He was the aggressor. He broke her neck in the assault, like a bone in her neck, not her actual like spine. She pulled out a gun, shot at him, like on the chest / shoulder. Yeah. He grabbed the weapon and shot her back and then claimed self-defense.
Well, that didn't help his case at all.
So they ended up letting him plead to a lesser charge because I read an interview with the DA and he's like, we would have had a real hard time proving that he was trying to kill her because she shot first. And I'm not condoning that. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm just telling you what the legal avenue is. She pulled out the weapon. He feared for his life.
What you're saying is the defense can poke holes in it.
Right. So he pled guilty. He's actually eligible for release in January of 2021. But he's an immigrant from Bolivia. So part of his deal was once he's released, he'll immediately get on a plane and go back to Bolivia. He's deported. Which Bethany's mom actually does not like, because if they end up finding evidence that he's involved, he'll be in Bolivia.
Do we have a treaty with Bolivia for extradition?
I didn't go pull an extradition treaty. I'm sorry.
And I wouldn't expect you to either. So this is a guy with a history of violence.
After, but yes.
And controlling behavior. Can you imagine how infuriated he would have been when he finds out that his pregnant girlfriend is considering for a moment going back to her husband? Like a controlling guy who's like, you're not going to take my baby. You're not going to leave me. And he's probably even more mad that she went to Hawaii with him.
Well, that's my thing. So she'd been back from Hawaii for a day. It doesn't sound like he knew she was going to Hawaii. So why wasn't their trip ruined by him texting her and calling her and all that? You know, like, I don't know why it was her coming home.
Well, I mean, maybe she hadn't been talking to him while she was away. So he's actually initially mad because he hadn't heard from her.
I mean, that's possible.
But this guy is screaming to me that he did this.
Yes. But here's the thing. Police searched her apartment. There's no sign of evidence. They brought in cadaver dogs. There's nothing.
It just means that nothing took place in their residence or in their vehicles.
So what? He just brought her out to, like, a random place and killed her?
What if she left the house that night and he said, meet me here?
I would assume the police have copies of her text messages at this point.
Well, that's fair. Or what if he had followed her and stalked her and just waited until she got out of her vehicle?
At their apartment?
Anywhere. Like, who knows? She could have left her grandmother's house that night and gone to get, I don't know, gas, for example. And if he had been stalking her and watching her, it's totally plausible that he kind of just pounced at the right opportunity, put her in his vehicle, and did whatever.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's possible. Totally possible. My question is, what happened? Like, I don't understand why they weren't fighting or why he wasn't trying to get a hold of her when she was in Hawaii, you know? And this actually, I'm going to say this because I feel like you're going to have good insight. And a lot of our listeners might be thinking this that don't have any experience. Why not tell her husband when she's safe with him in Hawaii about their relationship and how he's abusing her?
Well, because if sometimes you think you're overreacting. Sometimes you think you can fix it on your own. You don't want to be a burden to others.
But she's told her mom and her friends.
There is that. Maybe she was afraid that her husband would be really angry and actually do something that would hurt himself or Ronald.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with that. You know, part of me is like, just leave him. I know it's not that black and white. Like, I know it's not that cut and dry. I will say Ronald has been named a person of interest, but police have basically said we have nothing tying him aside from other people saying he was abusive.
And
we have nothing.
And now the evidence that he was abusive to somebody else.
Yeah, but you can't go back and say, oh, he did it because of this.
No, but if he was in trial, I mean, let's just say there was other evidence. But in a trial, you can bring up history of, you know, people with this behavior.
So it's funny because this is like the one thing I remember. Shout out Professor Allen for all of my criminal justice classes. But he talked a lot about Rule 404B, prior bad acts. And there are ways to introduce prior behaviors that would allow the person to be considered more likely to commit this crime. But I'll actually read one of the sentences to you. Evidence of other crimes, wrongs, or acts is not admissible to prove the character of a person in order to show they acted in conformity therewith. It may, however, be admissible for other purposes such as motive, opportunity, intent, preparation, plan, knowledge, or absence of mistake.
Well, thank God you didn't trust my opinion.
So you can't actually just bring it in, but I'm sure they could somehow get the information in. But that's like one of the there are probably like two or three things I remember him like harping on. And Rule 404B, prior bad acts, is one thing I remember.
Well, it came in handy. Thanks, Professor Allen. Okay, so I mean, we know that now, but that makes me more suspicious. I'm not a jury, so I can say that.
Agreed. Ronald does not look good at all.
I really honestly think, without a doubt, he did it.
And you think she's passed away?
Yeah. I think that he saw red and he killed her. If I can't have you, then no one can.
So, I don't think you're wrong. I'm just curious as to, I guess I understand.
So where do you land? If I point blank,
I'm like 65% Ronald, 35% she walked away.
I'm surprised.
Amy, think about the stress in that for her. Like, take away, let's pretend for 1 second we don't think he's abusive, okay? Let's just take that out of the equation. You are married. You just got back from Hawaii on a great vacation with your husband who's going back to Afghanistan. If you have reconnected with him and felt like, oh my gosh, I could be with him again, and then he's about to go back to be deployed, so you're going to be alone again, and you have his 1-year-old at home, but you're also pregnant with another man's baby, and you're trying to finish college, and you're trying to get a career, and you're working at Harabas, you don't feel like that could be an explosion in someone's head and be like, I'm done.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't think that could happen to anyone. I've definitely landed on that with previous cases that we've covered. But in this case,
I feel like it's the perfect
storm.
There's
just so much that points to her boyfriend that I can't ignore it. So yeah, I guess I would be like 95.5%.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like 70-30, 60-40. And if he is so brazen as to, and I'm not downplaying what he did, he beat her and shot her in her face. She still has a bullet in her brain, his ex-girlfriend. But how do you go from seemingly getting away from murder to being that stupid and brazen? You just, if what we're saying is true, he literally got away with murder.
Yes.
And then what? You're just the next girl. You're going to shoot her. And then he shot her. She fell. He literally walked out of the room and she left the house.
Bethany wasn't that lucky.
But how do you make that mistake with the next one?
I don't.
You just got away with the perfect murder.
I think it was just luck that he did. He probably was so confident from getting away with another murder that he thought, I'm a shoo-in. I don't know. This is like the case that's like, don't think too hard. The answer is obvious. It's right there in front of you. And I'm really appreciative that you brought this case to me, because the last couple of cases, I've just thrown my hands up in the air and said, I don't know. Even if it's a case that I brought to the table, I've been like, I don't know.
So I have a confession. I'll tell you now. My next two cases on deck are kids.
Well, I went from giving you a lot of credit to taking it all away.
I don't know if I'll do them in order, but they're two I'm like really, really stuck on.
Miss Melissa, who says, I'm not covering
kids. I know.
Kids.
I said in the beginning of this, I will never do kids. I think I've done like four or five.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's where I land. I think he did it with a small percentage of a chance that she walked away from her life.
I mean, I like I said, I'm 70-40. I mean, God, I can't even do math. 70-30, 60-40. I think that he likely did, but the fact that police put out information at hospitals and with just the culmination of all those things coming to a head, if she feels like she's being forced to make a decision, because she was, you know, it's, something had to end, and she's pregnant, I could just see losing your mind and walking away. Not literally, but you know what I mean? Being like, I'm done.
What do you all think?
Please tell us. Please tell me what I missed, what I didn't miss, all the things. I love hearing from y'all on social media, so.
Yeah, so that's all we've got for this week, guys. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Yes, we will. Have a good one. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Megan Hutchinson. Audio production by Amy Lamar.